Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It is very, very difficult to understand exactly what is going on in terms of the ceasefire. Does it still exist? Who's monitoring it? And what is likely to happen now? Joining me is Major Andrew Fox. He's a former British Army officer, defense analyst who has focused on the Middle East. We're in a situation where there's meant to be a ceasefire. There is a framework, but it definitely seems to be problematic. Major Fox, thank you for being with us.
I'm hoping you're well.
Good morning from Oslo in Norway.
Very, very nice. Well, maybe, I'm assuming. Can we just talk about the basics? Is there a functioning ceasefire right now?
Well, it doesn't look like it particularly well, but what I think is a cap on some of the escalatory measures that we're seeing. So Israel isn't going to return yet to full-scale conflict operations. And by the same token, Hamas has been pushing the boundaries of Israel's patience and the realms of the ceasefire deal to see what they can get away with. And so we're in that kind of chess game at the moment where Hamas are trying to feel out, you know, where Trump's tolerance is, where Israel's tolerance is, and Israel is replying in a relatively measured way.
Is this deliberate manipulation? And to what end? What does Hamas gain by this type of behavior?
Well, we have to remember Hamas don't really think in terms of how many people they've lost or, you know, how degraded some of their fighting units are. Hamas are thinking in terms of two things. First of all, they're thinking about control and the ability to retain that power in Gaza. And secondly, they're thinking about the huge, from their perspective, success that they've had over the last 2 years. It's raising the Palestinian standard worldwide and degrading Israel's international reputation. So they haven't really changed their war goals at any point.
And it
has worked incredibly well. It's been a very successful strategy from Hamas's point of view, because, of course, if they do get killed, then off they go to heaven as they died as martyrs. So, you know, it's a win-win for them. There's the Qatari influence that they've got to. The Qataris and Turks have received huge concessions from Washington in order to achieve the ceasefire by pressuring Hamas, their proxy, into stopping. So really, that's where the leverage is going to be if this ceasefire is going to continue.
One of the ways I generally lately have been measuring how this is all proceeding is looking at Al Jazeera. When Al Jazeera contain themselves and they move a little bit closer to neutrality, and I didn't say close, but I said closer, then you know that things are, that the Qatar government is aligned. I'm not seeing that at the moment. I'm seeing, again, this push completely away from the neutrality. We've got concerns about Saudi Arabia. Is this picture still hanging together?
By a threat, by the merest threat, to quote Gandalf. I mean, look, the bottom line here is, I think this is always about getting the live hostages home from Trump's perspective. He wanted his ceasefire deal that he could trumpet to the world and say that he had achieved, and he's really got that. The 20-point plan, I think, was incredibly ambitious due to the way that Hamas is just infested in every possible thinkable element of Gazan life has Hamas the fingerprints all over it. So the idea that you could sort of completely remove them root and branch and they would have no role in governance going forward, I think, is a very ambitious goal to the point of potentially not being possible. So straight from first principles, the plan was a challenge. You've got 200 American staff officers down in the south of Israel trying to plan what the next phase looks like. But ultimately, Hamas has used every single second since the ceasefire was declared to consolidate its hold on Gaza. And we've seen the executions of the various clans who've been opposing them. We've seen 75% civilians killed by Hamas's Rada and Arrow forces, you know, who are their strongmen. So yeah, it's a very, very challenging situation, and I think perhaps the goals of the 20-point plan need to be reduced slightly if we're going to see anything that approaches a kind of medium to long-term peace.
Hamas has to know that Israel's goal to retrieve the living hostages changes the landscape completely. Surely this would be a concern for them.
Well, not really. I mean, if we look at, you know, the last 2 years of military operations, Hamas have lost, what, 25,000 roughly fighters. But they still have absolutely the ability to flex control over Gaza. Their fighting units have been degraded. They've been moved from a sort of cohesive fighting force into scattered pockets of guerrilla resistance. But they're still very much in the game, as we've seen from the last sort of 2 weeks of ceasefire. You know, the bottom line is you cannot gun your way out of an insurgency. The firepower alone approach doesn't work. And analysts like me have been saying this since the start of the war, is that you need a political end state to work towards. And just continually launching bombs isn't going to do the trick. So Israel can launch all the missiles it wants. It can kill all the Hamas goons and even leaders that it wants. But the point is that Hamas is literally everywhere in the Gaza Strip. And removing them from that position is not something that's simply going to happen by bombing them.
Yeah, it can only happen, therefore, with the Qataris and with the support of the international community. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think that the key to unlocking all of this has always been Qatar, as well as Turkey, to a certain extent. But unfortunately, the Qataris have huge leverage in Washington. You know, they've played a very, very clever strategy for 10, 15 years, where they have bought huge amounts of influence. Mr. Trump has his, you know, the Doha Trump Towers that he can work towards. And, you know, that gives them unfeasible and disproportionate amounts of leverage here. Trump has his hostage release that he can claim as his own. He can offload the blame for the failure of the ceasefire elsewhere. So politically, the landscape isn't quite as tilted in Israel's favor as it was prior to the ceasefire.
So what if you were a betting man, which actually you might be, I've got no idea, but how do you think this is going to play out?
I think we're looking at something similar to the Lebanonization of where Gaza is, where whenever Israel sees a target that's worth hitting, they hit it. That seems to be working-ish in Lebanon. We're seeing Hezbollah trying to rebuild their strength and getting hit every time they do so. I can see a similar situation arising in Gaza. There might come a situation where Israel holds the half of the Gaza Strip that it has, starts, you know, rebuilding, and we see that kind of that effect where one area is getting rebuilt, the other isn't, and people might start to see sense off the back of it. But my hopes are low for that. So I think just that continual low security grind is what we're going to see for the next weeks and months going forward.
Really, really crazy. Major Andrew Fox, thank you as always. Former British Army officer giving
lowdown on what is happening in terms of the ceasefire.